Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, your host, and I'm thrilled to be here with you on this fine Saturday morning, July 6th, 2024. Hope you all had a wonderful Independence Day celebration on the 4th, and it's always good to get back to work after those holidays. So I'm great to be here today. We're going to talk a little bit about our debt. We're going to talk about the unemployment numbers were released yesterday on Friday for the month of June. And, of course, they were happy, happy, happy. Of course, it's an election year. What else do you expect? So we're going to have an interesting talk about debt and the global debt this time, not just the United States. And again, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and this program is sponsored by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. We've had a great week in gold. Gold today, well, on Friday, it was up another $20 coming off the holiday, $2,390, hovering around close to that $2,400 level. Silver, you're kind of looking at about the same thing. It popped big. We're at silver spot was 3140, 3140. So they're catching, they're recovering from their little bit of a pullback. And I know a lot of you folks out there, I've talked to a lot of you, and I don't know what you're waiting for. You're all waiting for that dip. The dip comes, and then you just expect it to go a little bit lower, and you forget about the long term position you want to be with gold and silver. So it's really hard to time the markets when you're trying to make a purchase. And so what you do is you do it, and you put it away, and because we got some troubling times coming our way. The U.S. economy, again, added slightly more jobs than expected, of course, in June. The unemployment rate increased. Now, the non-farm payrolls increased by 206,000 for the month. This is for June. Better than the 200,000 Dow Jones forecast, though less than the downwardly revised gain of 218 in May. You know, these revisions are really interesting. The unemployment rate climbed unexpectedly, they say, to 4.1%. This is the highest level since October of 2021. And the average hourly earnings increased 0.3% for the month and 3.9% from a year ago. But that's kind of what everybody's, you know, was expecting. But, you know, nothing to write home about. A broader unemployment rate, which counts for discouraged workers and those holding part-time jobs for economic reasons, that held steady at 7.4%. Household employment, which is used to calculate the unemployment rate, rose by 116,000. This household survey also showed a decrease of 28,000 in full-time workers, but an increase of 50,000 in part-time workers. So, you know, those full-time jobs aren't to be had. But, you know, the most interesting part, I mean, hey, we're a baby boomer society. We're all growing old. So, yes, you're going to see healthcare increase. Plus, you got millions and millions and millions and millions of people coming across the border, and they get free healthcare. So, yeah, we need to take care of them, too. So that's also going to add jobs to that sector. So the June job creation was due in large part to 70,000 surge, but this is in government jobs. Gee, who pays for those 70,000 jobs that were created in the government? Healthcare, a consistent leader by sector, added 49,000. Social assistance contributed 34,000. And, of course, construction was up 27,000. Several sectors saw declines, including professional and business services, 17,000, retail, 9,000. So it's kind of interesting. That's where our jobs are going to be, healthcare and government. And so for those of you that have children and grandchildren heading into colleges and so forth, you're either going to get a government job or a healthcare. So, kind of scary healthcare, but anyway, wages, average hourly earnings increased for the month. I mentioned that. In addition to the revision in May payrolls count, the Bureau of Labor Statistics lower April to just 108,000. And that's a slide of 57,000. And of course, yeah, you know, all these revisions, but no one ever talks about these revisions. So, you know, they come out with these big numbers and then, oh, well, you know, it really wasn't that good of a report, but, you know, hey, it helped the stock market, didn't it? Gross domestic product increased just 1.4% annualized in the first quarter and is on track to grow at just 1.5% pace in the second quarter. You know, they can talk about how great our economy is, but a GDP 1.5%, 1.4% is pretty pathetic. Is pretty pathetic. But hey, you know, they can spew all they want with the good news, but the reality of it now they're talking about, you know, we're in a selective recession. Well, remember, we did have the housing market. That was at one time a selective recession. But now the recession is just hitting those lower income consumers. They're struggling. But the high income households, hey, they've got a huge wealth creation. This is all from JP Morgan. So, and again, they talk about the equity. Analysts pointed to the divide between low-income and high-income consumers. Well, I think the majority of the citizens of this nation would fall between low-income and middle-income and not high-income. High-income consumers are thriving, evidenced by the $40 trillion worth of spending they're driving into the economy. A lot of that $40 trillion that they're throwing into the economy, I think, is debt by credit card. Low to middle income consumers seem to be falling behind. We continue to see the cost of living rise. The bottom 20% of consumers are contributing to just 10% of the economy's total spending. The backdrop This is all from the JP Morgan guy. The backdrop that we face in work is a selective recession. And what that means is you're going to have extreme volatility. We think the higher income consumer, a lot of wealth creation, the low income consumer, that's the melting ice cube. So you're the low to middle income, they're the risk. So I guess they're going to have to do something to either give them more money. Somehow they're going to have to create so they can keep spending, give them more debt, eliminate. No, I'm not going to say eliminate them. But I heard discussions today on Social Security. Now they're going to target the wealthy to pay into, they'll increase the taxes, but supposedly that increase in taxes for the wealthy will go to Social Security and to Medicare and to Medicaid and to welfare. So, I mean, it's like, and that will fix the problem, they say. That's going to fix the problem. I mean, you just can't make this stuff up. That they're actually having conversations. It's kind of like creating a $1 trillion coin, a platinum coin to fix our debt. It's like, who comes up with this stuff? It's amazing. But some other interesting quick headlines in the news. Let's see. There was one. Was it Bob's Stores? I think they're in the Northeast. I saw where they're going to close down all their stores. Totally going out of business. Bankruptcy. Can't compete with online Amazon and everybody else. Walmart online. Echoes of .com bubble haunt AI-driven U.S. stock market. A U.S. stock rally supercharged by excitement over artificial intelligence is drawing comparisons with the .com bubble 2 decades ago, raising the question of whether prices again have been inflated by optimism over a revolutionary technology. And I know, remember everybody said, you know, hey, don't worry about it. It's going to come back. It's going to come back. One of these days, it's not going to, though. Governments owe an unprecedented $91 trillion, an amount almost equal to the size of the global economy. The global economy is estimated at $105 trillion. Debt burdens have grown so large in part of the cost of the pandemic. They'll blame the pandemic, but it's just lousy government spending for all these social programs that they've been doing for decades. Quantitative easing going into the stock markets. It wasn't just the pandemic. The pandemic just brought it to light. So now it's a growing threat to living standards, even in rich economies like the United States. Just talked about how the low to middle class incomes are the problem, that it's a selective recession. We have a year of elections around the world. Politicians are largely ignoring the problem. They always ignore the problem. They're unwilling to level with voters about tax increases and spending cuts needed to tackle the deluge of borrowing. Yeah, that's not going to work if you want to get reelected. But you know what? Maybe it's time that people do want to hear that. Because these people are having problems. And it's not going to get better unless you begin to tackle what's needed to be done. You know, politicians, they're even making promises that could at very least jack up inflation again. And it isn't that what they're going to do is going to trigger a new financial crisis. A new financial crisis is here. The IMF Monetary Fund last week reiterated its warning that chronic fiscal deficits in the U.S. must be urgently addressed. Investors have long shared that disquiet about the long-term trajectory of the U.S. government finances. Continuing deficits and rising debt burdens have now made that more of a medium-term concern. Medium? Really? I want to know what this Roger Hallman, he's a global head of rates at Vanguard, and that Vanguard's one of the world's largest asset managers. Yeah, Vanguard, they're the government's investment firms, Vanguard, all the other ones. Debt burdens mount around the world. Investors are growing anxious. They are pulling their money out of the stock market. In France, you got political turmoil. A lot of concerns about that country's debt. They had a lot of elections. We just had big elections in the UK. And again, higher debt, you know, even with that, the specter of an immediate financial crisis, investors are demanding these higher yields to buy the debt of many governments. As shortfalls between spending and taxes balloon. So my question is, everybody wants the governments, well, ours anyway, to lower the interest rate. And that's what, you know, there's interest rate cuts already booked into the stock market. So you lower those rates, but yet in order to buy the government debt, you need the higher rates to entice these people because these investors are demanding higher yields. Higher yields reflect risk. They're not going to risk their money because they know these governments are going to fail. Higher debt servicing costs means less money available for crucial public services. And then it also means that when there's another financial crisis, there's no way to address these financial meltdowns. All that quantitative easing. The money's all tied up. Well, there is no money. That's the funny thing about it. Sometimes we talk about money and we forget that that money is debt. What about a war? They took Israel out of the headline. They took all of these discussions. The only discussion on the news anymore is Trump and Biden. And if you don't think that's by design, what about another pandemic? Millions of dollars are already being funneled to these pharmaceutical companies in order to produce and increase the function of a bird flu vaccine. Was it Finland? Finland, Norway, one of those countries, have been giving bird flu vaccines to people with increased risk. It's a test. Might sound that they're caring for those people so they're protected, but it's a test. Let's see how it's accepted. And gee, let's see what happened to these people. Maybe they'll sprout some wings. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And you know, government bond yields that's used to price other debt. Yeah, like your mortgages. And again, rising yields also mean higher borrowing costs for households, businesses. What do you think they're going to do? Think they're not going to lay people off? Do you think the money that they need is going to come out of their pocket? No, it's going to come out of your pocket. With higher interest rates, private investment falls, and governments are less able to borrow to respond to these economic downturns. This is where we're at. So get used to it. We're either going to have tax hikes, or cuts to benefits. Yeah, your Social Security, health insurance programs. And you're not going to hear about it. Well, maybe they'll mumble it underneath their breath to kind of remind you of it. There's this guy, Kenneth Rogoff, R-O-G-O-F-F. He's an economics professor at Harvard. Okay. He agrees that the U.S. and other countries will have to make these painful adjustments. Debt is not free anymore. I never knew where debt was free. Money is not free. I learned that from 2 years old. Money doesn't grow from trees. You have to earn it, to work for it. You have to produce something for it. Debt is not free anymore. And he's a Harvard University professor. He talks about it in 2010. A lot of academics, policymakers, and central bankers came to the view that interest rates were just going to be near zero forever. And everyone started to think that debt was a free lunch. There's no free lunch. That was always wrong-headed because you think of government debt as holding a flexible rate mortgage. And if interest rates go up sharply, your interest payments go up a lot. We saw that happen. And it is a conspiracy of silence. Our government is going to spend $892 billion in the current fiscal year on interest payments, more than it has earmarked for defense and the approaching budget for Medicare, health insurance for us, baby boomers, and those folks with disabilities. Interest payments next year is going to top $1 trillion on natural debt of more than, well, we're already at $34, $35 trillion. So do any of you see how this is sustainable? That we live in this world that everything is fine and grand and dandy, and only some of the people are having a hard time, and that the rest of the world is just going on just fine. The Congressional Budget Office sees the U.S. debt reaching 122% of GDP. They talk about just 10 years from now. I think it'll be a whole lot sooner. So then what happens? So there's no one, not Biden, not Trump, no one can fix our problems. They can address they can put band-aids, they can continue to try to manipulate. But how are you going to have tax cuts? You can't have tax cuts. It's impossible. You know, just like, you know, all we're doing is adjusting, robbing from Peter to pay Paul. And if you think that your money, your retirement funds are in treasuries and that they're guaranteed, a third of all pensions and retirement accounts are in treasuries. Guaranteed. That's what your financial person will tell you. Your financial planner, they'll tell you that. It's government debt. They're not going to default. They can revalue, which is, they won't use the word default. But what else are they going to do? We got debt too great to ever be paid. So maybe you're just hoping you'll outlive your money before it all happens. But then you don't have anything to pass on, especially to generations who don't have a clue with what's going on. They're all involved in Lord knows what. 800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. I mean, if your retirement accounts, your 401s, they're in a great spot right now. Why wouldn't you protect it? You're just going to ride it and see, wait for something to happen. I don't know why anybody would want to do that. I don't know why anybody would take a risk. At least buy the insurance to protect what you have. And I mentioned, on another program, maybe this one. You can always tell when the stock market is making record highs because you have all the baby boomers out there that have retirements, all the retirees and so forth. All of a sudden, they start remodeling their homes. They're in Home Depot. You know, they're replacing their floors. They're buying furniture. Going places, traveling the world, and that's great. They think this can just go on forever. And free debt can't. 800-375-4188. We got some, you know, I do comparisons with a lot of the online sellers of gold and silver, and our prices are so competitive. But there was one out there, I saw the headline, where if you buy from us, don't expect to get your product for, what, 6 to 7, 8 weeks, because we wait to buy until you buy, and it takes that long to get the product. That's just not true. It does not take that long to get product. There are no delays in the gold and silver markets at this point in time. There will be. There can be. It could change tomorrow. There's absolutely no reason you need to wait 6+ weeks for your product. It doesn't work that way. So beware. And as these prices get higher and product does get tougher to purchase in the future, you're going to hear more of these silly programs and the promises. And again, if you have your metal stored with a precious metals dealer, I don't care what country it's in, get it home. You can protect it better than a lot of these folks can. So if you have any questions, give me a call. I think we're just about out of time. 1-800-375-4188. And again, gold and silver is doing great. Gold is hovering around close to that 2400 level. Silver popped to 3150. And Friday, it was a very strong day, maybe a catch-up after the 4th of July holiday. And, of course, a lot of people are off today, so there's no one in there manipulating the markets. So this is what happens. And I'm not sure the stock markets today, they were all up big, too. And, again, light trading on Friday, so you can see anything. 800-375-4188. We'll be back tomorrow, next week. So until then, have a safe week. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.